Now we're holding on Nun Hey Amud Aleph, the eighth line. We learned yesterday about the whole matter of Trumas and Maisris. We said we talked about that we got into it by way of talking about when we evaluate the size of food as far as whichever implications that has in halacha, as far as Tumah v'Tahara, and as far as other points, do we go suppose that the food has shrunk or expanded since its original state? What do we go according to? Do we go according to its original state, or do we go according to its current state? And we went back and forth about that with different opinions and different scenarios. So in that connection, we mentioned about the case where you have dried figs and fresh figs, and you want to take truma from one on behalf of the other, where the fresh figs are much larger in volume than the dry ones. It actually estimates that the fresh ones are each one is twice the volume of the dried ones. So there's a lot of just some background noise by you. Maybe if you don't mind, mute yourself unless you have something to ask. So we were talking about this whole matter of taking Truma and Meiser from one type on behalf of the other type. So now the Gemara continues talking about that point, about taking Truma from fresh figs for dry ones or vice versa. One point is, we've learned about before, there's no Gemara Bavli on most of Seder Zroyim except for Brachas, and on most of Seder Taharis except for Nidah. So therefore, when we come across a Mishnah from those Sedarim, then often the Gemara will take the time to analyze the din in detail and discuss it, because there won't be any Gemara on that Masechta for it to be in. In other words, we can assume that in the yeshivas of the Amoraim, they did in fact learn and discuss all the Masechtas, but Ravina and Ravashi, when they came to put together the Gemara for us, they decided not to make separate Masechtas for those, and therefore the topics of those are scattered in different places in Shas, and therefore the Gemara will take the opportunity whenever possible to discuss these things. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Tonan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Tonan Te'en and Al-Grogris, you're allowed to take Truma of fresh figs on behalf of dried figs, and as we learned yesterday, you would go by number. So even though the fresh figs are much larger in volume than the dried ones, we said you would go according to the number of them rather than according to the volume of them. So we learned yesterday that that might mean because we have to go according to the original, either because we have to in fact go according to the original volume, and originally all of them were the same volume, or we said if we go according to the present volume, then with Truma you're allowed to give extra. But you can only do that, the Mokum should have given them not lasatanim grogris, only in places where they regularly take their figs and dry them to make grogris. But in such a place then you can take Truma from the fresh ones on behalf of the dried ones, because in other words, you yourself, or either other people, Rashi explains, either the ones that you designated as Truma, either other people or you yourself are going to be making them into Grogris, and then they'll become Grogris like all the other ones, and then you'll give them to the Kohen. The Shittim Kubetzis points out, again, that we're talking about Truma over here, and therefore, like we learned yesterday, there's no issue of giving too much. So you do that. The Loi Grogris Alta'inim B'minyan. On the other hand, though, you should not give dried figs on behalf of fresh ones by number, because as we learned yesterday, it wouldn't be by number. If anything, it would be by volume. But after the B'mokim should have given Lachas Mita'inim Grogris, even in places where they regularly dry their figs to make Grogris, you don't say that since eventually the Koyin or whoever is going to make them into Grogris, therefore it should be considered Grogris and Grogris. The fact is, right now they're fresh, and if you give, for example, as far as my submission, if you give only 10 Grogris on behalf of the whole 100, of which some of them are fresh and some of them are dried Grogris, then it comes out you're giving too little, because you should have to give according to the volume, like we said before. So the Gemara says, Omamah, well, let's analyze this Braisa. We learned in the Braisa, Turman to Enemar Grogris, you can give Truma from fresh figs on behalf of dried ones, the Mokum should give them lots of Tainim Grogris, in places where they usually do turn them into Grogris, implying the Mokum should give them Ain, the Mokum should give them Loi, implying that if it's a place where they don't regularly dry their figs, then you shouldn't do that. Now, why is that? Because it's true that fresh figs have an advantage, but on the other hand, you also want to give Truma of something that will last, something that's not going to spoil.
fresh figs are going to spoil a lot faster. So if it's a place where regularly they don't usually make them into gurgles, into dried figs, better you shouldn't give from fresh figs, because then they're going to spoil. Then they're going to spoil before the koyan has a chance to eat them. Well, the question is, hey, Shidomi, what's the scenario? Eat the ikka koyan. If there's a koyan available, b'makom she'en erogel amai loy. Why can't you give him fresh figs? V'atnan, we learn in a mission, makom she'esh koyan, when the koyan is around, turim and ayofa, then you should always take truma from the best. Because after all, there's a koyan, he may eat them right away. And fresh figs are better in the sense of they're moister and juicier and everything. So it would be better to give them, provided there's a koyan available. Elopshitted like a koyan. So evidently, we have to be talking about where there's no koyan around, and therefore we're saying don't use fresh figs as truma, because by the time you find a koyan, meanwhile those figs will have spoiled, and it's better not to do that. However, the Gemara says, aim a sefer. But let's look at the next part of the Braisa, where it continues. V'loy grugris ala te'enim. We said you should not take dried figs on behalf of fresh ones. V'afilu b'mokum shiroga las te'enim grugris. Even in places where they regularly dry their figs and make them grugris. Now, why not? To eat a lekha koyan. If you're talking about there's no koyan in town, I'm my lawyer. Why shouldn't you? Well, tanan. That same Mishnah in Truma says, makam she'in koyan, in a place where there's no koyan, turim and amaskayim. Then you should take Truma from what will last. So elop shita to ikha koyan. So then obviously that part of the Mishnah has to be talking about when there is a koyan around. Rashi had explained that the issue was not so much about that you can't give from one on behalf of the other. Rashi's explanation had been that if you give grogris on behalf of fresh figs, then the problem is you're giving too little, because you're going to separate 10 grogris, and that's not enough, because in terms of volume, you should have to separate more. Then the Shittim Kubetis points out that in that case, then that doesn't seem to fit with the question of the Gemara, because the question of the Gemara is not that you're giving too little. The question is that on the face of it, you shouldn't give at all. So again, the Shittim Kubetis says we can be talking about Truma, where Minatora, there is at least no minimum amount. So the question would be, the Braisa is saying that you should never give grogris on behalf of fresh figs, but why not? If there's no koyan around, that should be the exact right thing to do, because you don't want it to spoil before the koyan gets it. So that's the question. Reisha de leka koyan, the safer de ikka koyan. Are you telling me that the Reisha is talking about where there's no koyan and the safer where there is a koyan? That's not how Mishnayos and Braisas are usually arranged. And the answer is A. Yeah. Reishib de leka koyin, but sefer de ikka koyin. Fine, we're going to have to say that the two parts of the Braisa are in fact talking about different scenarios. One where there's a koyin, so therefore by all means give him fresh figs, because he might be able to eat them right away, so better you should give him the good stuff, which is the fresh ones, So when there's no koyan, which is the reisha, then we would say that because there's no koyan, so only in a place where they regularly dry the figs, then you can give fresh figs as grogris, because then soon you enough or somebody else will turn them into grogris, and that way they'll still be preserved by the time the koyan comes to town. Whereas the sefer would be talking about there is already a koyan in town, and therefore by no means should be giving grogris, give him fresh figs. If he wants to dry them, gives him the hay, but you should be giving the best possible stuff. So yeah, we're going to have to say that. Amara Papa, so we see...
Should have started with a Kohen when there is a Kohen, and ended with the when there is no Kohen. Why did you start the other way around?
Doesn't have to be. That's not a big question, because there's no problem with the Braisa saying in a way where there's no Kohen versus where there is a Kohen. That's not a big deal. But Amar Rapapa, says here's something you can derive from this discussion. Shmamina dahakinu mukminin masnitzin v'tshrei taimi. It means that when we have a Mishnah or a Braisa where the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict one another, better we should say that it's talking about two different scenarios. Rather than say that they belong to two different tanoim. The Gemara could have said that the Braisa disagrees with the Mishnah in Trumas, and meaning, in other words, that there are two different tanoim, But there were two different tannaim on the subject. So here it would mean, actually, the Shittur Kobesis points out, it would mean that the Mishnah would be according to one Tana, and the Braisa would be according to a different Tana. We're not going to say that, or Tosfos says, and it means that even within the Braisa itself, one part could be according to the Rabbanan, and the other according to the Yehuda, where there is, in fact, a machlokas between them in the Mishnah, in Masechta Trumas, but we're not going to do that. We should rather assume that an unspecified Mishnah or an unspecified Braisa is going to be according to all possible opinions, unless we have a reason to say otherwise. And here, even though that requires us to say that one part of it is talking about one scenario when there's no Kohen, and the other one is talking about a different scenario when there is a Kohen, better we should do that, says her papa. Okay. Getting back now to topics of Menachos. So we got into this whole discussion again by way of that we had the first Mishnah of our Perek and talked about when you have to make the Shtei Alechem and one batch of the bread of the Torah has to be Chometz, how we made them Chometz, and we talked about the volume of the Chometz piece versus the volume of the rest of the dough, and that led us into this whole discussion about the volume, about volumes of different foods in Halacha as they shrink or expand. So now let's get back to Menachos. The Mishnah says, Kol Menachos Niloshes V'Potrin. All Menachos are kneaded with warm water. As we learned the other day, Reb Preda had asked about that. How do we know that? So we said the idea is we want them to be the best possible bread. Most of them have to be kept matzah, as we learned before, except for the two that we said that are chametz. But even so, even matzah is better made with warm water, provided you can make sure it won't become chametz. Now, by the koyanim, we can do that. The koyanim is rizimim. We can rely on the koyanim to be diligent and not allow it to become chametz. When it comes to baking matzah for Pesach, that we can't do that. That we do, in fact, have to use cold water, which is why we use mayim shalonu, so it'll be as cold as possible in order to delay the time that it would take that it might potentially become chametz. But when it comes to menachos, we can rely on the koyanim, and we're allowed to do that. Tosfos points out, the Gemara does tell us in Psachim, now one thing is that one of the processes they often do to grain before they mill it, before they grind it, is called, in Hebrew, is called lasfisa, where they take the grain and they soak it or mix it in water in order that way the various outer layers of it, the bran and the germ and whatever, will come off more easily. Now, when it comes to when the Gemara discusses in Psachim whether you would be allowed to do that with wheat for matzah, and the Gemara mentions over there various opinions that in principle you could, but la halacha you're not allowed to. The Gemara mentions over there that by menachos we can't do that either. Now, why not? The reason is because the lasisa is not being done in the azara. It's not being done by the koyanim. We can't rely that the average person is going to do it in a way where they'll be careful where the grains don't absorb water and swell up. But when it comes to here, we're talking about the kneading, which is done in the Azara, then that would be done in the Azara. That would, the kneading of the Mincha is done in the Azara, and it's being done by the Kohenim, and therefore we can rely on them. Torah just discusses it seems from later on in the Masechta that there are some of the Lachem Aponim, for example, are actually needed outside the Azara. So the answer is when it's a Korban Sibur, then we can rely on the Kohen more. And Tosfos goes on and discusses various details about that. But basically, the idea is that we can rely on the Kohen, so we use warm water. So the idea is warm water will make better dough. We don't want to use cold water and we don't want to use hot water because both of those will make that it won't be as good. And then you have to guard them carefully that they don't become chametz. As we learned previously on Daf Nun Gimel, we had Reb Preda's question about that, and we actually Reb Preda had said maybe we learn from the Masas of Pesach that we have a mitzvah to guard them, and then Reb Ami had told him that actually we have a different source because it says Masas Sia, which means you should make sure that it remains Masa. So you have to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. The imach mitzu shiareha, if the shirayim, if the leftover of the mincha after you took off, after you took out the koimetz and burned it, if that became chametz, over below says there, Then the person is over on a loiseh. Shenema, because the pasuk is kol mincha shatakru b'Hashem loiseh osa chometz. Any mincha that you offer to Hashem should not be made chometz, which means not only the mincha cannot be chometz before you take the koimetz, but even after you take the koimetz, the rest of it can't be allowed to become chometz either. And in fact, the chayev, in fact, a person who makes it, a person who is involved with preparing it after it's chametz, would be chayev al lishasa, whether he needs it, v'ala richasa, or shaping it, v'ala fiyasa, or baking it. So if it became chametz and he does those three things, then he's going to be chayev three times malchus, because each of those, as we're going to learn in Gemara, there's a separate iser not to do them when the mincha became chametz. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili, where do we know this from? Meaning, Rashi explains further on that the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted tells us the whole mincha can't be chametz. How do we know as far as the Shirayim that they can't be allowed to become chametz either? Amar Ish Lakish, the Amakra, loyse of a chametz chelkam. Because the pasuk says, it should not be baked chametz, their portion. Now, you look in the pasuk, and you look at the chop and the pasuk, the word chelkam on the surface belongs to the second half of the pasuk. Loitze of a chametz, mincha should not be chametz. Chelkam, nasati oisam eishai, Hashem says, I made it their portion from what goes on my fire. Meaning, in other words, the mincha would have all gone in the fire. Instead, Hashem says, only the chametz goes in the fire, and the rest of the kohenim eat. So therefore, it's their portion. But now, Rish Lakish is darshaning the word chelkam as going with the first clause of the pasuk. Loise offer chametz chelkam, their portion, meaning the shirayim, should not be baked as chametz. So therefore, so that's where we see that you're not allowed to allow the shirayim to become chametz. Afilu chelkam loise offer chametz means even the portion that's left for the kohenim after the kmitzah should not be allowed to become chametz. So the Gemara says, "V'hai lahochi yudasa." You're telling me that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. We need those words in the Braisa to teach us something else that it says in Braisa. When it says loisa of a chometz matamad loima, what does it mean? What is the pasuk coming to teach us with the words loisa of a chometz? The pasuk also says that it should not be made chometz. The pasuk loisa of a chometz that we've been quoting is in Parshas Tzav. In Parshas Vayikra, it says, when it first describes the mincha, it says, "Kol mincha shetakriv l'Hashem loisa osa chometz." Any mincha that you offer to Hashem should not be made chometz. So you already have. It says, loisa osa chometz. So what is it adding by saying loisa osa? So the reason is, fisha nema loisa osa chometz, yochol lo yehi chayv al achas akulam. So you would think from that a person is chayv malchus only if he won malchus for doing all of those things. So let's say, as we said in the Mishnah, he kneaded it and shaped it and baked it, maybe he'd be chayv, and it was chometz, he'd be chayv only one malchus. So no, tamad lama loisa osa. Therefore, the Torah tells us specifically, don't bake it. Now, what does that mean? Afia b'chlal hoisa. Baking was included in everything else. When it says loisa osa means anything that you do with it, including the baking. The lama yotzas. So why was it singled out? La hakish eleha, in order to make a hekish with it. This is an example of davar shahoya b'chlal, the yotzim in a klal lalamed, where it was part of a klal and then it was brought out from the klal and singled out lalamed to teach us lo lalamed al asma yotza, lalamed al kol kolo yotza. It teaches us about the entire klal. It teaches us that not only it, but everything else that is similar to it that was in the klal as well is also similar. Ma afiyam yuchedes, what is special about baking, shuuchi maisi yichidi, it's something special, meaning it's a chosh of a thing by itself, and therefore a person is chai of malchus for doing it individually, because it says specifically on it, loise offer. Afani obi lishosa v'ari chosa, by the same token, we can include the kneading and the shaping, v'chom maisi yichidi shaba, or any other chosh of a or any other choshever action within the process of making bread, where a person is going to be chayav malchus for each one individually. And the Gemara interjects, what do you mean, kol ma'isi yichidi shaba, what other special things are included, l'isui kituf, that would come to include, for example, basting the dough. When you're making dough, every so often you take some water or something or some other liquid and you baste the surface of it so that it stays smooth and it rises nicely and everything. So that would also be included. So every one of those so each one of them is a special action on its own, and therefore a person is chayev malchus for each one individually. So that's why we have the two psukim, loisa osa and loisa offa. Loisa osa teaches us all the actions, and loisa offa tells us one specific one for which he's chayev malchus, which therefore, by this rule of loy lamed al asma yotza, teaches us that all the other ones are he's chayev for as well. Tosfos points out that now on the face of it, if they gave him asura for each one individually, then it wouldn't matter. The pasuk singles it out. And if they only gave him one asura, how can he be chayav multiple malchus? So Tosfa says, what it means is even, let's say, they did give him a surah for each one, but you would think once you already made chametz, and it's possible, maybe therefore the next thing that a person does, let's say, for example, it was made chametz, and let's say, for example, during the kneading it was made chametz. Now he goes and starts shaping it. You would think, well, he's shaping it, it's already possible, what's the problem? Nevertheless, though, if they give him a surah, don't shape it, because it's chametz, and if you do, you'll be chayav malchus, then nevertheless he's chayav malchus. And the same thing with each of the other ones. Okay. So the point is, we're learning that. From the words loisa of a chametz, we're learning this. Lo lamad al atzmi yotza, lamad al klal kol yotza. So what are you telling me that we can learn from it also, as Rish Lakish says, about the shirayim? The answer is anan metzokam kaminan. Fine, but Rish Lakish's drasha is not from the words loisa of a chametz, but rather from the word chelkam, the fact that it says chelkam, their portion, right after it said, right after loisa of a chametz, so therefore that teaches us that chelkam, their portion, also cannot be made chametz. So now the Chiddush Mam Yechosim La Rashba points out the Braisa is talking about a mincha which is baked before you ever do the knitza, as we're going to start learning in the next parak about the details of how menachas that are to be baked or fried, how those are done, we'll talk about in the next parak, Be'ez Hashem. We're talking about in this parak rather. We're going to talk about it towards the end of this parak of how exactly they're done. So anyway, the point is that then you need to be told that if it became chametz and then he baked it or shaped it or whatever or did any other things, he's chayav malchus. As opposed to Rish Lakish on the face of it is talking about only when you have it's not a baked mincha. So it's a raw flour mincha, and therefore we need a separate pasuk that tell us that afterwards, after he took the kmitz, the koymitz, and burnt it on the mizbeach, nevertheless the remainder of it cannot be made chametz, and cannot be baked or cannot be kneaded or baked or shaped or baked or whatever as chametz, and a person will be chayav malchus for that. So we need Rish Lakish as drasha. Well, the question is, fine, but maybe the pasuk is only coming to tell us only Rish Lakish's din, not the din about where he's chayav malchus for the kneading and the shaping and so forth. The answer is in Cain. If that's what all the Torah meant, lichtiv, then it would have said it the other way around. Chelkam loisa alfa chametz. Their portion should not be baked as chametz. And then we would say it means their portion, the shirayim, cannot be made chametz. My loisa of a chometz chelkam, instead it puts it in the order, it should not be baked chometz. Their portion, shamash bin antarity, therefore you can learn both things from it. So we can say, in fact, that we can learn both things from it. Tosfos points out in this connection, you know, we have an example of this kind of thing, l'chalek, where we have something, lo lamad al atzmi yotza, el lamad al chal kol yotza. An example of it is in this upcoming week's parasha, where the Torah says, lo sivaru esh b'chol meshveis eichem, don't light a fire on Shabbos. And we know that in general, all the malachas are also on Shabbos. So it singles it out to tell us that l'chalek, to tell us that a person is chayiv malchus, or a korban, individually for each malacha. And the Gemara says the same kind of thing over there. The Gemara says we also learn from it a din that you don't do Mrs. Beis Din on Shabbos. So even if it said chokam loisa offer chometz, then still we would darshan from the fact that it says loisa offer. Just like over there, we can learn from loisa varu esh b'chol meshvei seichem that it means not only don't light a fire, but also because it says b'chol meshvei seichem, we also learn missus beis din. And so Tosfos discusses because we would have said fine, you're not allowed to bake it as chometz, but we wouldn't know that we would think that the loisa offer, all the other doings, applies only to the chometz, and therefore we need to know that it applies to all of them, and that we know from the fact that it says loisa offer chometz, and then it says chelkam. So therefore, we can learn that, as well as we can learn that each individual significant action is chayav a separate malchus. Okay. So the Gemara says the ema afir deparet barachmana l'chayav chada, but maybe you could say the baking where the Torah singles out and mentions it separately, then it means he's chayav one malchus for it. Enoch, but the other ones, the chayav chada akulu, maybe the other ones, he's only chayav one for all of them collectively. So, and the answer is, Mishum Dahaba, as we just said, because it was, Dabar Shahi Bechlal, V'yotzim and Achlal Olamid, Lo Lamed Al Atzma Yotza, Lamed Al Klal Kolo Yotza. So therefore, it's not just that it teaches us that it itself is Chayav Malkus, it teaches us that each of the other ones in the Klal that it came from is also the same thing, each of them is an individual Malkus. So in other words, the Chiddush Mam Yechosim La Rashba explained, the Gemara had thought that loisa osa chametz means everything else except for the baking, and then loisa osa would refer to the baking, and then it's not dover shahoya b'chlal, because it's not part of the klal, and the answer is no, loisa osa includes everything, including the baking, and therefore it is dover shahoya b'chlal, and therefore it's lamed al klal kolo yotza, and the same way, as it itself individually is chayav malchus, the same way each of the other ones individually is also chayav malchus. Okay. But the Gemara says maybe you could learn differently. If aim a loisa osa klal, maybe you could say the loisa osa, which is earlier in Parshas Vayikra, is a klal. Don't do anything with the mincha that when it's chometz. Loisa osa prat, and the words loisa osa then would be a prat within that. And we would say klal of prat, ein b'chlal ala mashu b'prat. And the rule would be a klal of prat means the klal is limited only to the prat. And that would mean afia ein midiachrin aloi. Maybe it would mean, on the contrary, that maybe you mean on the contrary, that a person is chayiv malchus only for baking a mincha as chametz, but not any of the other actions, not the kneading or shaping or whatever. So, as usual, we have the question. I mean, in that case, why have the klal at all if we're limiting it to the prat anyway? So, in various places, it talks about Chedushim HaMiyuchasim LaRashba explains here. Otherwise, we would have thought, okay, once it says Loisa Ofer, we would have learned from a Mamotzinu. We would have learned by Binyan Av from it to the other one. And therefore, the Torah specifically tells us klal on a prat, telling us don't do a Binyan Av or any such thing over here, limited only to what it says. So why don't we do that? And then we would say that a person is chayav only for baking it as chametz, but not anything else. And the answer is Amar Rabbi Tiriki. Rabbi Tiriki says that doesn't work. Mishum to have a klal of prat amaru chokin zemizeh. Because in this case, if you were going to say it was a klal of prat, then it would be the klal of prat are very far apart from one another because they're in different parashiyos. They're several chapters apart. The whole klal of prat amaru chokin zemizeh. And when you have a klal of prat that are distant from one another, that are not, a klal of prat has to be right after the klal, you have the prat, or vice versa. A prat or klal would be a prat and right after at the klal. Here where they're over 100 psukim apart, then no, we don't say that. The whole klal of prat, or chok and zemizeh, when they're so far apart from one another, ain't done in ursim, a klal of prat, then we don't do them as a klal of prat. The reason is that the Sfas Emes gives an interesting reason for that, because ein muktam u'chabat Torah. We know the Torah is not always written in chronological order. So when it's one after the other, then you can say, fine, it was in chronological order, and Hashem said first the klal and immediately after that the prat. But when you have, it's in different parashiyos like this, they could well have been said in a different order, and then it's not a klal a prat, and then it's the other way around, it's a prat a klal. So therefore we can't do such things. Tosfos points out that there is a relevant Gemara in Nida where Rava does learn a klal of prat from psukim that are a few psukim apart. But they're at least, Tosfos says, they're in one parasha. Here they're not even in the same parasha, and even Rava would agree that we don't do such a thing. So the Gemara continues, Mosiv Rav Ada Ba'ava. Said of Adaba Abba asked Sanan, the Amrilah Kedi, or others say Kedi asked it. Kedi is two possibilities. It can mean in one place Rashi explains that Kedi means anonymously, without the name of the person who asked it. In other places, Rashi seems to say that Kedi is the name of an Amora. In one possibility is the word Kedi. If it means anonymous, then Kedi is short for, it either means Kedi is an Aramaic word meaning empty, as in like they're empty of who, they don't know who asked it, or it's short for the word Kedihi, meaning as it is, it was the question was pointed out, but just as it is without giving a name attached to it. But again, the other possibility is that Kedi is the actual name of an Amora. Anyway, so Rav Ada Ba'ava or Kedi asks, O klal of prat, I'm rechokin zemizein, don't know if it's a klal of prat. You're telling me that when you have a klal of prat that are far apart from one another, we don't darshan it as a klal of prat. But we learn in a brisa that you have an example where you do that. We're going to quote a whole brisa, and then Rav Ada Ba'ava is going to explain his question based on it. V'atanya, we learn in a brisa. The Pasuk says about the chatas that a king brings, whereas we learned in the Masechta Horias, a regular person, when he brings a chatas, brings a female animal, brings a female sheep or female goat, as his chatas, the king brings a male goat. So the Pasuk says, v'shochat oisei b'mkoma sheyishchat as oila lefnei Hashem, he should shecht it in the place where the oila is shechted before Hashem, meaning in the north of the Azara, chatas hu, it is a chatas. Now where in the Azara is an oila shechted? But Sofen, in the north of the Azara, Af Zeh Bat Sofen. Therefore, this one also, the chatas of the Nasi, has to be shechted in the north. Now, the question is, the Braise says, are we learning that from here? We don't need this pasuk to tell us that a chatas is shechted in the north. It says in general, by a chatas, in the place where the ola is shechted, the chatas is shechted. Where the Gemara points out elsewhere, the reason for it is in order not to embarrass the person who is bringing the chatas. Because like this, people don't notice from a distance. It's true they're different genders. An Ola is a male, Chatas most of the time is a female. But nevertheless, from a distance, people won't notice. And they'll see an Ola being shecht in the north. They won't know that this guy did an Aveda. And as Chayav a Chatas, they're going to think he's bringing an Ola. Anyway, the point is that the Pasuk is saying that every Chatas is brought in the north, which would include the Chatas of the Nasi. So there's a Hol Mazeh Yotza. So why is the Chatas of the Nasi singled out? And it says specifically that it should be shechted where the Ola is. L'kovoy, it must be, in order to establish, it must be in the north. She'im l'shochat oisa b'tzofen psoloi, that if he didn't shecht in the north, he will actually pass it. The other passage that says where the Ola is shechted, the Chatas is shechted, just means that you should do it that way, but not necessarily that if you didn't do it that way, it would be possible. Now, but a Soyer Nasi, it says it, and therefore that means that And therefore we learn from that. Shana Allah, Akos of Lakiv. The Pasuk is repeating it. And therefore we see that it applies to the Chatas of the Nasi. Now, Ata Oimel Kach Yotzas. Now, continue the Braisi. You're saying that's why the Chatas of the Nasi is singled out. Oy Eina Ella Zeton Sofen Ve'ein Acherton Sofen. Maybe it means that this is the only Chatas that requires to be shechted in the north. Meaning that we would say the Pasuk, B'mkoyma Shetishachata Oila, Tishachata Chatas, would be referring only to the Chatas Nasi, and maybe not the other one. Maybe not the other ones. Tosfos has a question on that, and says that no, what it means is, he refers to Rashi, brings on the parallel Gemara and Zvachim, that it would mean, in other words, that fine, it would mean not just the Soyer Nasi, it would mean other Seirim that are also male animals. So the ones that are brought as the Chatas Sibur on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, or the Chatas of Avodah Zarah, but maybe we would say that female ones don't have to be shechted in the north. So Talmud Loma, therefore the Pasuk says, by a chatas of an individual, it also says, v'shochatas chatas v'mkoim asher yishchatas ha'olah, the words asher yishchatas are not actually in the Pasuk, v'shochatas chatas v'mkoim ha'olah, he should shecht the chatas in the place where the olah is shechted, zeb bona av, this creates a vinyan av, the chol chatois, for all chatois, for to'unis tzofen, that they do have to be shechted in the north. So therefore, we can't say that the chatas nasi, or any chatois like it, according to Tosfos, are singled out, and only they have to be in the north. In fact, every single chatas has to be in the north. Which the Chiddushim Am Yechasim La Rashba points out the other way around. If we didn't have the other psukim, we would say it applies only to an individual's chatas. Therefore, the Torah tells us you have a klal prat and tell us that you have a binyan av from it to everywhere else. Now, the point is, Rabbi Adaba Abba said, now that we quoted the Braisa, Taima Dekosi Rachmona Veshochat as a chatas, only because the Torah says that you should check the chatas in the place of the oila, then we have the binyan av. Holav Hochi, Havamina Shaton, Havamina. If not for that, we would have thought, Shazeton Shchitet Sofen, Shazeton Sofen, Ve'en Acherton Sofen. Otherwise, we would have thought, as the Braisa was saying, that only this one, the Chsoyer of the Nasi, requires Sofen, but not any other one. My Taima, now why would we think that? Why would we think that? Lav mishum to have a klal prat. Apparently, because we have a klal prat, because we have a klal that all chatois are to be shecht in the north, and then we have a prat where it says by the sur of the nasi. And as usual, we'd say klal prat in b'chlal alamashu b'frat. So we would have thought that only the sur of nasi is shecht in the north. And not the other ones. Even though these psukim are far apart, because the klal is in Tzav and the prat is in Vayikra, and nevertheless we can judge it as a klal of prat, not like Rabbi Tariki. So you see that it is possible to do a klal of prat, even though they're far apart, and even though they're in opposite order. So what are you telling me? That we can't do such a thing? Tosfos also points out that listen, you have other chatois as well. You would have a klal of prats as well, because you have even after the pasuk of a chatas yochid, you have other ones, the chatas yochid is also a prat, so then you'd anyway have a klal of prat that are closer together. And the answer is by a chatas yochid, you have extra psukim, and that teaches us about other chatois, so therefore it would be considered a klal. So in other words, you would have the klal by a chatas yochan, you would have the prat, then you would have the prat by a chatas nasi, and you would see that then you'd see that you still could have done it as a klal or prat, were it not for the fact that we darshan otherwise from the psukim and say because and say on the contrary we have a binyan av to all the other ones. So Maskeh thought of Ashi, said of Ashi in turn questions. Of Adaba Ava's question, hi Klala Pratu, what are you telling me? This is the Klala Prat, Prat to Klala. On the contrary, the Prat would be in Vayikra, and the Klala is in Sav. So on the contrary, we say the other way around. But still, we should assume that we follow the order it says in the Torah, and therefore it would be a prat and a klal. If you're going to doubt it like that, on the contrary, the nasa klal, most of other prat. In that case, then it's the other way around. The klal adds to the prat. It means not just the prat, but the whole klal. This rabbi lahu kalmili, and then we automatically are including all kobanas anywhere. Anyway, so you wouldn't need to learn from an individual's chatas or from a nasi's chatas. Rather, no. What it is the Tana, when the Tana is asking how we know that all chatoros have to be shecht in the north, he's bothered by the word oisei, that it says by the Saranasi. Oisei is usually a mute. So it means only the Saranasi is shecht in the north, not the other ones. So he's asking for the word oisei. The hachikama, what he's saying is, oi eina ela zeton sofen ve ein achaton sofen. Maybe the word oisei means that only the third nasi has to be sheft in the north, and if it's not sheft in the north, then it's possible. But other ones don't require sofen because Rahmana oisei, because the passage says oisei by the third nasi. And the answer is that no, we have to learn from the and therefore we have, it says by the Chatas Yochid also, it says that you should shecht in the north, and then we have a binyan av from that to all other Chatoris that they have to be shecht in the north. So it wasn't because of klal or prat, or prat to klal. It was because of the word oisei that the Braisa was thinking that there was a limitation that we learn only for the Sorenossi, or as Tosfos says, other ones that are similar to it, but nothing to do with a klal or prat. So we can still say a klal or prat, or prat to klal does not work if they're far away from one another, only if they're right back to back in the psukim. So the Gemara says, "V'hashded nafkalim v'shachat hazachatos." Well, if we are after all learning from the words of v'shachat hazachatos that all chatois have to be shecht in the north, then we have to ask, "Oisei l'mo tamai." Well, then what is that word "oisei" coming to exclude? Now that we said that all chatois have to be shecht in the north, so what are we doing with that word "oisei"? In fact, Tosfos says that it says you could also ask why it has to say that it's shecht in the north. That we could have learned from the same binyan av. So yeah, the Gemara could have asked that, but the Gemara is going to ask a different question anyway, and then that'll answer the question anyway. So what are we doing with that word oisei? So the Gemara says lamauti, it comes to exclude a number of cases that we have for which the simon is nachshon v'shochat oifa pesach simon. So the simon for the next four things the Gemara is going to mention is the words nachshon v'shochat oifa pesach. Those we're going to learn that there are four things, four cases of korbanos that do not require tzofen, as we're going to go through them. So the first one is oisa bat tzofen v'en sor nachshon bat tzofen. The sor of the nasi, the sor that a nasi brings when he's done an avera, that one has to be shecht in the north. But the sor that was brought by nachshon or any of the other nasiim during the 12 days of the dedication of the mishkan, where each day of them they brought korbanos, and among those korbanos were chatas, series of mechad b'chatas, that one did not have to be shecht in the north. And why do we need to say that? Sakhlad Hamina. Otherwise, we would have thought, without the pasuk telling us, Hovi Slabi in Smicha, since it was included as far as the matter of Smicha, that it's still, like any chatas, it required Smicha, Nachshon, or whichever other Nasi each day, would have to lean his hands on his head before he shefted it. So it's included for that. So you would think, Slabi Namit Sof, and you would think it was also included that it had to be shefted in the north. So Kamash Malan, therefore we have to be told otherwise, it did not have to be shechted in the north. Because as Tosfos points out, it was a one-time korban, and we don't learn one-time things with korbanos, we don't learn from things in future generations. Since the Sor Nachshon is unique to that time, then therefore we don't need to, then, and therefore we don't learn from it to the other ones. Now, of course, Tosfos points out there are many korbanos that require smicha and don't have to be done in the north. The shlongim, for example, also requires smicha and it doesn't have to be done in the north. But the point is, in other words, since the pasuk is saying v'shachat oisid b'mkaymasha yishchat asa oila, you should shecht it where you shecht the oila, the north. If it didn't say oiso, then you would think that it means that that it has to be included not only as far as smicha but also as far as the north. And we're saying that no, it does not in fact have to be shechted. If it does not in fact have to be shechted in the north, because because it was a one-time korban in history, and it didn't need to be shechted in the north. It didn't need to be shechted in the north because it was a one-time thing. And even though Nachshon himself is a Nasi, but he's a Nasi, he's not a king, and therefore it doesn't mean that it had to be done. Okay, so the Gemara points out a smicha gufa menolon. Well, how do we know that Nachshon's korban had to have smicha on it? And the answer is the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. When the pasuk says v'samach yodeh al rosh ha-soyer, the pasuk says he should lean his hand on the head of a soyer. Now we're talking about a soyer already in the pasuk. So what is it? So v'rab soyer Nachshon v'smicha divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says we learned from that Nachshon's soyer, his korban shchatas did require smicha. Says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says no. What it means v'rab seyer abad v'chabam v'smicha. It comes to teach us not about Nachshon's korban, but we kind of take it out of context and we say when we have a case where based in mistakenly paskin that a certain kind of avodah zarah is mutter, and as we learned before, the tzibur has to bring a par as an oila and a sur as a chatas. The pasuk is not in connection with Nachshon anyhow, it's in connection with a sur of a nasi. So from here we learn that also the seir avodah kochavim requires smicha. Tosfos points out on the face of it there's a hekesh. Elsewhere the Gemara says we could have learned from, but that hekesh applies as far as the hazar. Well, we wouldn't have known from it that it means the smicha. So we learned from that that also smicha has to be done on the seir avodah kochavim as well. So that's what we're learning from. So we're saying that the sur Nachshon requires smicha according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, everybody agrees it doesn't require itself, and that we're learning from the word oisai. So we can continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll talk about this whole matter about. So that answer is according to Rabbi Yehuda. How according to Rabbi Shimon? What are we going to do with the word Oisai according to Rabbi Shimon? As far as the simon that we said over here, Nachshon v'shachat Oisra Pesach, and where we had the simon that we just had, Nachshon v'shachat Oisra Pesach simon, on the face of it, it means Nachshon shechted a bird on Pesach. Which again refers to Nachshon, and then we're going to continue the discussion over here. We're going to talk about something involving shechting, something involving melika of a bird, and something involving the korban Pesach. This is going to continue over part of the next amud. But the Rav David Pardo and on the Tzeach LaDavid talks about a deeper meaning behind it, that the korbanos are addressed usually to Shem Elikim. Addressed usually to Shem Havaya. Korbanos are an aspect of Chesed, as opposed to that Elikim is Gvura. And you have, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that the korban that's brought to Shem Elikim is a broken heart in Tshuva. So he explains in this connection that you have that the korban Pesach also represents breaking the gvura and the dinim of Mitzrayim and the nochash. He explains Nachshon, the Lashon nochash is also has to do with all of these things have to do with dinim, and all of these things have to do that each of these things we don't even need them to be in Sofen, because at that point the idea of Shecht and Korbanos and Sofen he describes as in order to break the powers of Klippa that are mainly in the north. But when it comes to these things, when it comes to the Pesach in particular, Nachshon v'shachat oisra Pesach, then you don't need Sofen, as the Gemara is going to establish, as we'll continue learning tomorrow, because with Pesach already all of the Gvuras, all of the Klippas were already broken at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we don't need to do anything else with them, and we just have the Geula of Mitzrayim and soon the Geula of Mitzrayim. Claim